You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
Hi, y'all. It's Amir Yesai with the Take On for the Broadway Podcast Network. It's another day in quarantine, honey. We're powering through. I'm here with my new good friend, Jason Carter. How are you, sweetheart?
I am good. Your new good Judy.
Yeah.
Amir, it's me. COVID Judy's attack. No, I'm doing great, man. It's been a day. I've been up since 6 a.m.
Oh my God.
Nonstop. And I've had 12 of these really yummy, delicious coconut cookies called Thinsters. Ugh. They're amazing. I failed to read the nutritional facts on the back because I feel like that's just propaganda for a decline in your mental health.
Absolutely. And you know the thing that's amazing about the quarantine and COVID? You can't share anymore. So the cookies are all yours now. It's great.
Well, I mean, you know, like you can share. Like me and my husband, we share a lot of things. We share a bed. We share smooches. We share cookies. However, you do make a good point. I'm not sharing these cookies with the Karens in the wild.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. And I have a friend who's named Karen. I actually messaged her and I was like, I think you got to change. You got to go as your middle name for the next year at least.
Yeah. Here's the thing. All these Karens are going to need like mental therapy. Yeah. And they're going to need to go and like talk about their problems because like Karen has become public enemy number one. Like the villains of 2020 have been COVID, racial injustice, racism, Kanye West, and Karens.
I mean, you're so absolutely right. I mean, even this whole Kanye West thing, I was talking to my dad, you know, who's an immigrant, and he's always glued to CNN. And when I told him that Kanye was running, he was surprised. And that was the funny thing. Like, anyone that's on social media knew that Kanye was running for president, but it seems like people that watch, like, the Fox News and the CNNs and the MSNBC, like, kind of didn't know about it. Like, it's almost like he made this announcement on Instagram, got Elon Musk to back him, and it wasn't really all over the place. So, like, what do you think about that? Like,
I think that when you have two, what's the word, eccentric beings like Kanye and Elon Musk. I mean, yes, Elon Musk is backing and endorsing Kanye West. That should tell you everything you need to know. Another person from a different planet. Like, it's not like Joe Biden or Oprah Winfrey or Hillary Rodham Clinton or anyone that has like any clout beyond being a financier and an inventor that actually has some kind of political prowess and political nuance is backing Kanye West. Then you know you can talk about it. But when Elon Musk backs Kanye West, they're both trolling us. Okay, they're both trolling us. This is all one big ruse for Kanye's next album.
Come on, you know, and you know the merch he's going to sell. He's going to be like a millionaire, and now he has his Gap, a billionaire. He's going to get so much money out of this. And, you know, being, you know, partnered with Gap now. And listen, I don't trust someone who names their child XEI-1212 or whatever the name is of the Elon Musk's baby. I mean, how much can you trust someone? That poor kid.
Right, it's obnoxious. Like, it's obnoxious. And what it is also a little disrespectful, Amir, because, like, here you have, we're in the midst of, like, this never before seen or happened occurrence that's like happening with humanity across the world, and namely, what's going on in our country. And Kanye, you want to run for president? Fine. Okay, cool. Run for president, but what platform are you going to run on? What's going to be your slogan? What's going to be the meat and potatoes of your candidacy? And also, you are worth a lot of money, but it takes a lot of money to run for office, right?
And especially this late, Jason, right? You know, New York is already, you're done with electoral for New York and Florida. These are big states for electoral votes. So,
and we've seen what happens when someone who isn't a politician miraculously, magically, by the grace of whomever, is elected to office and what that's done to our country. Now, I have searched high and low and underneath my bed for a redeeming quality of Donald J. Trump. It has yet to be discovered, right? People say he's great for business.
Donald J. Trump? Oh, God. Jay.
Well, I mean, look. Yeah, I know. But I'm just saying, like, he's in office, so we've accepted our fate, but we're trying to rationalize that fate.
Right.
And Kanye West, I mean, I don't know. Like, if this does come to fruition and he is a candidate or he does have a successful candidacy, God help us. But me being as optimistic as I possibly can, in spite of my quarantine 15 I've gained in the last 4 months, Kanye may surprise us, and that's what's scary. Hell, look, Cardi B should be his vice president, because she is woke when it comes to politics.
She's
That I can get behind.
Yeah, but Kanye, that I will get behind. I mean, even the live she did with Bernie Sanders was elevated, and it was so smart. And she's so good at just like the way she even stepped away from social media. She's like, I don't need this shit. Like, I'm a successful Afro-Latino woman. I'm doing my own thing. Like, see ya. Like, I don't need this. And that's what I love about her. And I think Kanye I just hope that he's not doing this for the shock value. And again, from a political standpoint, it's going to split the black vote. And that's what I'm worried about, is that people are going to say, well, I'm not going to vote for Donald Trump. I don't know who Joe Biden is. What does he stand for? And then we're going to end up voting for Kanye, because I don't know, people that haven't voted, tisk tisk, when you go into a voting booth, sometimes you get really overwhelmed being in that room by yourself, and you kind of make some decisions. So I think we have to be more intentional. And again, I'm not saying that Joe Biden is perfect. Like, I have a lot of problems with him as well, but it's the lesser of two evils. And I don't know, I'm worried that this decision from Kanye will make Trump getting elected a lot easier. I just hope not.
Right. Well, yeah. And it's also slap in the face of Black Americans, and marginalized groups of people everywhere, because I think we're all intersectionally connected. Because like you have to read the room and really stop and think about, okay, not everyone lives in a palatial suite in Hidden Hills in Calabasas. Not everyone has had the privilege that Kanye West has. And so with Beyonce says in her 2013 documentary, Life is But a Dream. Love it. Watch it. Get into it. she says with great power comes great responsibility, right? Imagine if Kanye West, who just for conversation's sake, I love Kanye as an artist. The Dropout albums, the College albums, the first three albums, incredible. Wonderful. Incredible. I still wear pink polos because of Kanye West. Kanye was dope.
I love that.
Kanye said everything we were thinking, and it was like, yes, bro, I'm going to spend my whole paycheck trying to look fly because I had to do that back in the day. Mm-hmm. New workout plan, all falls down, touch the sky, hit after hit after hit, and you got his struggle. You got his grind. Mm-hmm. You saw yourself in Kanye in some capacity, and the music was good. Mm-hmm. Then 2008, he hits us with 808 and Heartbreaks. What? Drop the mic. Just gems. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, you are this incredibly creative person that is fashionably inclined. You have all this wherewithal to do such good in the world. Abate, we understand you have mental health issues. Cool. Sure. Boom. You've got help for that. There's millions, myself included, who suffers from depression and bipolar and mental health. So that's that you have the resources to get that together. Fine. You did that. Now, Kanye, it would be incredibly miraculous for you to use your power and your connections to America's second first family, the Kardashians, for good. Mm-hmm. For good, right? Mm-hmm. Like, why are you not? I would have loved to see Kanye at a Black Lives Matter movement. I would love to see Kanye on these smaller outlets like a Fox Soul, like something that's not like an E, talking about the issues. That would be so powerful. Kanye is from Chicago. It would have been awesome to see Chicago go on their morning show, The Jam, and talk about what's happening. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But
it's weird because Kanye's searching for something. It's almost like this weird validation. Like even when he was on the Kardashians, because I watched that from like day one, he didn't want to be on camera, but then he loved it and was like, I can kind of produce this and make it about Yeezy and about my issues and what I want to do and like going to his childhood home. Like he's very intentional and very smart. But what I worry about, mm-hmm. Jason, is that when someone runs for president, it's almost like when someone has a kid. It seems like right now you don't need to take any classes to be a father. It's like you don't have to take any, you don't have any degrees, nothing to be president. And that's what worries me because the office of presidency is not a selfless one. It is a selfish one. You gain stuff. Like I was talking to someone earlier. I was like, people don't, even Obama, you gain something. You get a book deal. It's not a selfless job. Like it is a job that will benefit you, but it also requires a lot of expertise. And I just don't know if he has it. Like I'm worried about that part of it.
Right. And much like Oprah running for president. No, bad for her brand. Mm-hmm. No, you just because you have driven in your lane successfully and have amassed and cultivated a following in a capacity that you've been able to craft and bend and control does not mean you are a good politician. A lot of politicians are lawyers. A lot of politicians are people who have worked in law enforcement or some kind of public, have held some kind of public seat or have been involved in some kind of public leadership role that lends itself to be in line to ascend to another level of that leadership. And politics, of course, is countrywide politics and the highest court in the land and things of that nature are the most glamorous, if you will, of those jobs because you have to be appointed to those jobs. They're high profile. So you are right. When people do ascend to those heights, there's jewels that come with that. But at the core of any job you do, you have to be good at your job. Like if I'm selling cell phones at AT&T, you best believe I'm going to know every goddamn thing about an iPhone, what it does, cameras, how to charge it, how to, you know, all the ins and outs, all the accoutrements that you need to know about something. Kanye, I mean, you can study, but it's just like if we put someone in office that's not qualified, then it's downhill from there. And running a country like the United States, the greatest nation in the world, is a very complicated thing. It's not just like a one size fits all job. If a president could fix our country in 4 years, it would have been done by now. But there's been presidents who've had two terms: Obama, mm-hmm. Clinton. That it didn't come to fruition because it's not that easy.
And
they've been working towards this their entire lives and mm-hmm. their lawyers and they have degrees and they're fully, fully abreast in what it takes to be politically savvy.
Absolutely. And listen, being president is tough. You come in and whatever your predecessor had done, you have to clean that up and then you have to make your own marks and you have to do, a lot of people do the legacy stuff in the last month, which I'm worried about with Trump. I'm like, what crazy freaking shenanigans is he going to pull in the last couple of months of his, you know, presidency? And because they do stuff like that. And I think with presidencies, and remember, we have to also realize America is viewed as in a certain way from other countries. And we've already become a laughingstock because of Donald Trump. And then now we have Kanye mm-hmm. as president. It's going to be really hard to come back in countries like the Middle East and countries like Asia that are just going to be like, America's a joke. Like, you know,
or the Bahamas mm-hmm. or even the Bahamas, mm-hmm. they laugh at our politics and the Bahamian nations, you know, they're not the most flush with cash.
Right.
A lot of their industries, a majority of their industries, tourism. And when I went to the Bahamas in 2016, at a McDonald's, the guy behind the counter was like, what's up with your politics? They had CNBC, MSNBC and Fox News on inside this McDonald's.
Wow.
In the Bahamas.
No, it makes sense. Right. I'm not surprised. I mean, other world, like people in other worlds might not have like a stable income or not, might not even have like a high school education, but everyone knows the news. Here, when you tell people, they're like, wait, who's running for president again? Like people are just, Americans are just not like tied to politics and what's going on in our country. They're very much like, oh, this is affecting me because of traffic. Like that's all everyone cares about. And that's probably, right. I think.
Yeah, I know. So Kanye, God help us. I mean, and mm-hmm. if it happens, then
I don't even know what to say. I mean, I just want to see Kim's going to wear at her inaugural ball. And I just.
Well, here's the thing. Kim will be an amazing first lady.
Oh, yeah. She's done so much great work.
Yeah, Kim Kardashian, honestly, will be, well, I don't mean, I'm not going to say she'll rival Michelle Obama, never, but I think Kim Kardashian, and not just because we're both Kardashian apologists and we love the Kardashians, but but because Kim actually is a smart individual, and Kim, much like Jessica Simpson, they played dumb. They figured it out later in the game that, like, it's better for me to just be what people want me to be in order to have the success of whatever vehicle I'm trying to have on television or as a brand or whatever. But Kim, I mean, just her clemency saga and her clemency journey, and as how she's helped so many people that we haven't even publicly been talking about because she's been doing the work behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. It's awesome. And she gets it. And it's funny, Kim, I'm saying this on a podcast, but I think Kim would be an amazing first lady.
No, I really think I agree with you. And I mean, I think that I have always talked about the power of the Kardashians, and me being a publicist for 10 years. I know Aline Kashishian, who's their publicist. It's very smart. Like, it's very categorically strategic. And even all of the conversations around Chloe and her plastic surgery and, you know, whatever, and then Kylie, all of those conversations, even in quarantine, they're somewhat relevant, you know, and they're always going to come up. And I don't know if you saw the photo of Chloe, like, she looks like a whole different person. And it's like,
yeah, I saw that.
All of those conversations, if you look at the comments, it's loads and loads of comments from celebrities. And then if you look down on the bottom, I always say the peasant area, the commentary from the real people. And you really hear people are like, wait a second, who is that? Like, and all of those conversations, whether they're negative or positive, when it comes to PR, if people are talking about you, you're doing something right, whether it's good or bad. And you know this.
Right. Yeah. And it's just what they do with that chatter and how they are able to use all that, I would say, visibility for something good, because a lot of celebrities are very self-serving. It's all about preserving their career, preserving their whatever they have to cash a check for that week. And, you know, their social media and their image and their brand. But it's the smart celebrities figure out how to, okay, capture an audience, get their eyeballs, get their ears, and then say, okay, look, guys, hard swerve, pivot to the left. This is what I'm really, it's like the Breonna Taylor memes that are going on. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, I went to In-N-Out Burger today. And by the way, I ordered for people to arrest the cops that killed Breonna Taylor. It's like that, it's that kind of hard swerve, right? It's like unexpected, but it's intentional and it's effective. And I think some celebrities.
And it's TikTok, you know, and we have TikTok, we have Instagram, people are cataloging things, and the Kardashians know how to play the game well. Like they're running to the bank with checks. People can say they're stupid and they're dumb and she had a sex tape and they all have fake boobs, whatever it is. The fact is that they're running to the bank and cashing them checks, you know? And I think with the Kardashians, like, what do you think, like, in the beginning of quarantine, there was a bit of like canceling celebrities and celebrities were saying dumb shit, like Madonna, you know, with her bathtub moment. And there was a lot of celebrities doing some really wackadoo things, especially around quarantine. And, you know, the Kardashians were so silent, like they weren't saying anything. Do you think that was strategic? Like, were they strategically staying out of that messy conversation?
The messy conversation as far as what, BLM and
Well, there was a bit of like, even with BLM, but even with quarantine, like they weren't talking, they weren't really posting, they weren't really like activated as much as a lot of celebrities were. And people were canceling celebrities. They're like, we don't want to hear from you like during this pandemic. Like,
well, yeah, I mean, look, here's the thing. When it comes to COVID, that's a health scare, right? And really, it's like you can't flame someone for not talking about. If I was rich and famous and I didn't post anything about COVID, it's probably because I'm trying to survive COVID myself. Sure. Like, what is me? I mean, beyond the deluge of outlets that are, you know, me and my husband watch CBSN daily, and it was just depressing. But you had to watch it in order to be educated. And every day was a new development on how to battle this, how to protect yourself. Also about the deaths that are happening, unemployment. It was just like I said, a deluge of bullshit over and over and over again. So for the Kardashians not to say anything about it, I get it. A lot of people didn't say anything about it. I mean, and it's neither here nor there, because them speaking out about it is not going to change the fact that this is happening. Them speaking out about it is not going to save someone's. It's not. They're not giving money. I mean, I don't know if they are giving money. They probably have donated, but it's not. They're not going to impact or affect that much change when it comes to a global pandemic, because we're all in the same boat. We're all. It's like What is it? It's like Titanic, and when the ship was sinking, right? Mm-hmm. Everyone's trying to get out. Everyone's and everyone that was that couldn't get off on a lifeboat was going to die.
Absolutely.
And I feel like COVID-19 is the sinking ship, and we're all there trying to survive. We're all there trying to figure out. We're all there trying to get on the lifeboat. But any one of us could go, because COVID doesn't have a face. COVID doesn't care about your race, sexual orientation, how much money you have, if you have kids, does not care. So for them to post something is like, bye. But your question was it intentional? Probably. Mm-hmm. Probably. And Madonna, mm-hmm. I'm not mad at Madonna for being outspoken, because, you know, at least she stands for something. Mm-hmm. And Madonna's only gotten kookier in her 60s. Madonna was
so kooky
for 40 years. For 40 years, Madonna was killing the game. Like, right. Madonna was saying shit, and musically, mm-hmm. and publicly, mm-hmm. that was like, yeah, okay, yeah, Madonna, I'm picking up what you're putting down.
Absolutely. And what do you think about, like, you know, Madonna has, you know, and Madonna and the Kardashians have been kind of been like, you know, especially with BLM, like, people are, I knew about all this stuff before, but people are becoming even more aware, and it's great, and posting about it. But, you know, Madonna has appropriated, like, Black culture and other cultures as well, and so have the Kardashians. Where do you think the line with, like, kind of imitation and appropriation happens? Like, where do you think that line is?
I think there's blatant. That's a really good question. I think there's a blatant appropriation. Mm-hmm. And then, like, look, appropriation also comes, what's at the core of appropriation is appropriate, right? Apropos, what is suitable. And I think that, you know, I don't look at Madonna and think, oh, she has benefited from Black culture, because Madonna's also paid homage to Black culture. Madonna's also has highlighted Black culture. Mm-hmm. The Kardashians' kids are Black. I get it. Mm-hmm. It would be awkward and also really cool for Kim to come on and be like, listen, Black people are the tastemakers. Everything that's cool and everything that's swaggy and everything that's creative has been on the backs of Black people. If she would say that, Kim would get kudos for sure. Mm-hmm. But I don't think they have grossly appropriated Black culture. Okay. It's not like Kim has come out and try to rock hoop earrings and say her name is Kiki, right. And right. She's like, and she's from the hood, and she's saying like the N word. Kim would never do that.
No. Madonna, not Luann De Lesseps, you know, like
right.
Does the Black
exactly. Luann De Lesseps, and also Luann De Lesseps should have a seat, because how many times has she been pulled over by the cops for? Okay, anyways.
Absolutely. No, well said. It's true. It's well said.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's yeah. Like whatever. Losing Luann, the housewives drive me up the wall.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, Supps creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. Supps, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on Essie Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
But if let's say Garcelle had done what Luann did in the back of that car, it could have ended differently. Let's be honest.
100%. Garcelle would have been splat. Mm-hmm. TMZ, look, Garcelle Bouvet, who's one of the most classiest. She knows who she is. Mm-hmm. She knows what her worth is. Garcelle is an institution in this business and has no reason. I mean, I'm surprised we've gotten so much about her backstory with her and Mike Nylon on The Real Housewives, because she's like unearthing and divulging everything that's happened to her. But there's an era of class with Garcelle that you can't help. Her name is Garcelle. I mean,
I know. It's fabulous. Like, she's not going to be pulling a Ramona Singer. Like, you know,
she's
classy to the bone for sure.
Right. So like Black appropriation, I feel like these stars, it's neither here nor there with me. It's when it's blatant. It's when it's like these white boys, like Justin Timberlake. It's when these white boys that fail to see who's influenced them and fail and then throw people under the bus. Hello, Super Bowl 38, and throws people under the bus, you know, and doesn't come to the aid of the culture that put you on. because guaranteed, I went to many an NSYNC concert. Guaranteed, November 2002, I purchased Justified. Guaranteed, September of 2006, I purchased Future Sex Love Sounds. Like, Justin, you know what I mean? Like, you, there's a lot more white men in music that have appropriated Black culture irresponsibly and still haven't given us our shine.
Absolutely. And I mean, look at the band Lady Antebellum. I mean, it's like, you know, like changing their name now and feeling like, and it's like, don't pretend you didn't get hundreds of emails and DMs that was an inappropriate name. I mean,
The Dixie Chicks too. Yeah.
Yeah. It's apologists, like these apologists that are coming out and it's like, oh, we're going to change your name, but it's Lady A. And it's kind of like, that's the big racist elephant in the room. We all know what the A stands for.
Right. Yeah. Right. Like, if you're going to change your name should be like Lady Hillary. What's her? Her name is Hillary. Mm-hmm. Lady Hillary and the Boys. Or, you know what I mean? Like,
Hillary and the Boys. I love it.
Seriously, because, like, here's the thing. Everything that's happened in the last 60 days. No. George Floyd erupted in May, at the end of May.
Yes.
Everything that's happened in the last almost 60 days and everything we've seen has been great, has been awesome. But it's also like, I had a tweet about this a couple days ago about, you know, people are giving these obligatory apologies and now the trend is to celebrate them for these apologies, like Shane Dawson or anyone else that's like, you know, I just want to do better. I didn't know. Bullshit. So now you're not only are you being celebrated for being vitriolic to people of color, but by you being, but okay, first of all, you, the infraction was what you said towards a marginalized group of people. Now that you're being celebrated, it's now again at the expense of people of color. You're getting more views.
You're getting a job out of it because people are like, wow, look how woke he is. Like, oh my God. Whereas if, for example, with the whole Shane Dawson thing where he pretended to jack off on Willow Smith or all the disgusting things he'd done. Do you think if Jaden Smith did that with, let's say, JoJo Siwa's photo, he would ever get another chance in Hollywood? Like,
no. Oh, he would be labeled as a predator. Mm-hmm. Will and Jada, their careers would be in jeopardy. It would be like, there would be so many levels to that. It would be from Will and Jada, bad parents. Will and Jada, the example of what Black bad parenting looks like. Jaden Smith, a predator, pedophile. I mean, people would run with it. And then that's just in the headlines. Think about the chatter on social media.
Absolutely. And the way that people are going to take them down. And the fact that we're even having the conversation to give Matt Lauer a second chance. Why? If that was a Black man or a Persian man or a woman, do you think that they would get a second chance? Like, why are we giving him a second? Someone said, I heard this on MSNBC. Well, he's learned from his mistakes and it's time for him to get a second chance. Why? Like,
okay, well, here's the thing. Those women that came forward, those women, like much like Roger Ailes and Bombshell, those women who had their lives forever altered, they didn't get a second chance.
No, they don't.
They lost their careers. They lost homes. They lost a piece of themselves as a freaking human being. They lost sleepless nights. I mean, they had sleepless nights. Suffered relationships, so many things. The domino effect of those, of that type of behavior is never ending. Also, having to be publicly seen, even though, yeah, time heals all things, but you will always be known as that person who was a part of this. That person. It's like if you're accused of sexual assault and you are completely innocent, you were acquitted, had nothing to do with it. It was found that you were 100% innocent. You were wrongly accused. People will still find a way to make you a victim. I mean, make you a villain.
Absolutely. They're going to always taint you from a PR standpoint. Like, people are always going to be like, well, yeah, he wasn't like, you know, convicted, but maybe there's a chance. Right. Like even, you know, Kobe Bryant, when he passed away, there was a lot of people that were still like, maybe he did that. You know, maybe he was a rapist. And it's tough because it's like, even when you're acquitted of something, it taints your reputation and it's quite unfortunate, but it's how things kind of work out. And, you know, I worked in entertainment as a publicist for years and I used to work with talent. And we always said like one mistake kind of really can unravel your career. And, you know, we've seen it. And I'm just curious, like, I've heard a lot of chatter about Britney Spears and like all of, you know, her TikToks, and she's posting a lot of like unhinged videos. And a lot of people have been talking about conservatorship and how she really has no rights. What are your thoughts about Britney Spears? Like, I know we all love her, but it seems like she's going down a really dark path, but no one's really talking about it.
And they're not. And the thing about Britney is that, you know, we have to protect our national treasures, okay? And Britney Spears, I mean, if you think about the career of Britney Spears, Britney Spears has been famous for close to 25 years now. Mm-hmm. And it's sad because we all grew up on Britney. Britney was a part of a heyday in music and in pop culture and in our comeuppance that is magical. Mm-hmm. And so Britney is 38. Britney will be 39 years old this year.
Wow.
And she's a mother. And it's sad that because money is the green-eyed monster in this whole thing, that she hasn't gotten the help she needs. Also, she's a grown woman, but from what reports are saying, and allegedly she is not all there as far as her day to day, and she does suffer from some kind of mental health incapacity. Mm-hmm. And she needs people that truly, honestly care about her. And I can understand. I mean, and it's also compounded with the fact that she's a freaking megastar, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So she has had to grow up in this business that has judged her, be forced around by a business that works like a machine, right, and then not have the backing and support, allegedly, according to claims that mm-hmm. that her family is really there for her. I mean, her mom was trying to take the dad to court, right, over the conservatorship, and the judge was like, no, we're going to enter someone whose actual job is handling conservatorships, because Lynn Spears, you're a little off your rocker.
And it's unfortunate because, like, you know, we saw, like, with Christina Aguilera being on the same ship and deciding to kind of just get off and kind of build her own normal life as possible. And it's sad to see Britney kind of go the other way.
Well, yeah. And also Christina Aguilera probably had people in her corner, because Christina Aguilera has also had her bouts of failed relationships. I'm sure there's things that's happened to Christina that she hasn't talked about. I mean, mm-hmm. The 2010 Billboard Music Awards, Christina Aguilera, you know, had put on weight. People were calling her Miss Piggy. Mm-hmm. I mean, she's gone through a lot herself. But you know, with Britney, it's just like you you feel for her because she also has kids. And then two, Kevin Federline, and she has mm-hmm. Sam Asghari, who's her current boyfriend. Right. But Kevin Federline, it's like, where you are the father of the children. I don't know. I feel like if I had children with someone and I saw them going down a path that I knew was not in even remotely in their best interest, I would try to intervene. And maybe he has. I mean, there's probably years,
right,
years of conversations, things that have happened, right, back and forth that the public doesn't know about, rightfully so, because it's none of our business. And because, you know, of course, the team is going to protect their investment.
Yes, but they are. He's not as much of a villain as they've painted him to be. I really don't think so, because I know her son did a live a couple months ago where he talked about, you know, kind of like what it was like to be Britney Spears' son. And, you know, he got in like a lot of trouble for that, because he was kind of like, you know, we're always stuck at home and like my dad comes, and like he kind of gave us like that weird kind of light into their, because we never see it. We just kind of see, right, Britney kind of seemingly unhinged, and that's all we get to see. But I hope that, you know, I don't know. I really hope that she's going to write a book or something to just let us in.
Yeah. Well, speaking of books, biggest news today, Mariah Carey said her memoir is delivered on Twitter. And it was so dope because I'm the biggest Mariah Carey fan. And much like Britney, Mariah came out on the cover of People magazine, Bipolar, had that breakdown in 2001 on TRL. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it goes back to having people in your corner that support you, that say, hey, Amir, take a break. You need 2 weeks off. You're going to burn yourself out. Like, what you're doing is not as important as protecting yourself, protecting your health, and protecting your mental health.
But it's not to them, Jason. That's a sad thing. Like, I can't tell you. I've signed an NDA up and down, left, right, and center. But I've worked with clients that I've had publicists deliver bags of drugs to them, and they are basically almost dying. And they're like, you need to go. And I'm not talking like someone that's singing in a bar. I'm talking about Madison Square Garden. Like, they are doing a world tour, and literally we've had to fire people that spoke up and said, I don't feel comfortable giving this person, let's say, a massage or giving them some kind of facial treatment because they're on so many drugs. And we've had to fire those people for the fear that they're going to speak up. I mean, it's so sad because the people at the top don't care. They don't care if Britney Spears dies. They just want to get as much money out of her, you know, and the way that like Michael Jackson and all of these celebrities that have died, you know, Whitney Houston, no one cared because they got the money out of them. And that's the really, truly sad thing. And that's like kind of the bummer of the music industry. It's run by a lot of cisgendered, straight, white men at the top who are fine, you know, riding the backs of Black entertainers, of Middle Eastern entertainers, of gay entertainers. They don't care. They could care right. less. And that's really scary.
That's the fact. And those are facts that also permeate mm-hmm. and translate to any facet of any industry where money is where the bottom line is just that, the bottom line. And what I mean by just that, meaning like the bottom line is we yeah. don't care as long as it makes dollars mm-hmm. and as long as it makes sense. And sometimes Bitcoin.
Exactly. Well, no, but the thing is, like, a lot of people don't know, like Columbia Records, like one of the largest, you know, purveyors of music all over the world, was part of the minstrel shows. They are the first ones to popularize blackface in music and all of that.
So yeah, well, Sony, you know, yeah, Sony Music is Sony, who owns Columbia and mm-hmm. RCA, and I mean they're probably, I think they are the biggest, if not one of the biggest, because there's. They've had so many problematic artists on their mm-hmm. roster, mm-hmm. and you know, think back to Kesha, Dr. Luke, just so many things that mm-hmm. have happened that with people. I think Sony. But it's because like they want that money, and it's mm-hmm. and I don't think that'll ever change no matter what, because you bring up Whitney Houston. Mm-hmm. How tragic that the voice of many generations mm-hmm. has, there will never be another Whitney.
No, there won't. That's it. Like, and the fact is, like, the sad thing is, like, people have profited off of her death a lot more than if she was alive. And that's like, right. that makes me want to cry. And like, when people cry when Michael Jackson dies or their idols die, it's because deep down, we all know that these companies, these, you know, trusts are going to benefit off their death more than if they're alive. And that's like kind of sad, as like, you know, ourselves being in the entertainment industry, like imagine if like you're better off dead than alive. I mean, that's like, right. And for your family to like have people say, I love Michael Jackson. And then other people to be like, he's disgusting and a pedophile. And then turn like all of that trolling, like how do you process that? And I, you know, that kind of leads me to my next question, like us, you know, working in this industry, and you know, you've been on so many different platforms, you know, you've done so many different shows, and obviously being a part of RuPaul's Drag Race as well, there's, you know, having your own show Unleashed, you're like talking to so many different intersections. And how do you think the people you've interviewed deal with that level of trolling and, you know, pulling people back down? That's just really rough.
It's a disconnection. I mean, I talked to Samantha Shocker today. She's the host of Daily Blast Live. It's a nationally syndicated talk show out of Denver. It airs in, mm-hmm. it's on 42 markets.
Wow.
And, you know, she's a mom, she's a wife, and she disconnects. She has to. And then even bigger celebrities, people find coping mechanisms. You know, it's interesting when you see celebrities who don't post a lot on social media or mm-hmm. don't care. Like Jennifer Aniston could care less about social media, right?
She doesn't do it at all.
Right. She's like, you know what? It's whatever. Let me just do that. And like, you know, people, so I think people have, which is a good thing. I think they've come to the realization that social media is not important. I think for when you're coming up in the industry, when you're trying to prove yourself, you have to fire on all cylinders, and mm-hmm. social media is sometimes the full throttle that'll get you to the end. That'll get you over that hump when it comes mm-hmm. to booking a job or having visibility. I know for myself, like I just barely reached 50,000 followers mm-hmm. yesterday, which I'm so happy about because yeah, I've worked so hard. Thank you to build a following. But at the end of the day, I also like cringe at that, because it's like, this shouldn't matter as much. Like my worth should not be based on how many followers I have, but no one's looking for me.
But see, that's the thing. Yeah. It's like weird. Like even on TikTok, like I have a pretty like strong following. And every time I remember when I first started, I was like, I'll never get to this number. And then you get there and then you're like, well, now I have to get there. And like, it's always unattainable. And that's why a lot of people have, you know, depression, and you're comparing yourself. And, you know, you look at your Instagram and you're like, well, you know, I have 50K, but I don't have 100. Like, and then all of a sudden you're like, you start putting that in your head, and it's like the new business card, right? You know how some people have like metal business cards and some people just give you like a piece of paper. Like, so it's just really hard not to compare. It's just really hard.
Oh yeah. I mean, comparison's the thief of joy. Yes, and I mean, I at 40 years old, I'm learning I'm learning that now. Like, I don't, do you? There are people in this industry that I do not care for that mm-hmm. I've competed with in the past. And I'm learning, like, and that are way more successful than me because of privilege, because of talent. And that's not shade, it's the truth.
No, it's just the truth. We're not being, like, you can tell by our voices, we're not shady, we're not being jaded. It's just a fact. Like, I started out with people that have now 100,000 followers and have booked multiple jobs. And that's because they're white and privileged. Like, I'm just not, like, and again, I'm white passing, I get that. But at the end of the day, I'm still Amir Hassan Yasai. So that's always going to be there. And it's a fact. It's not us being shady. It's just a fact.
And so you look at that and think, okay, where am I going to place my happiness? Where mm-hmm. am I going to, where am I going to allow myself to live at peace? Because I'm not going to spend another decade chasing, grinding, and comparing for an industry that would so very quickly dispose of me or replace me or mm-hmm. see me or invalidate me or not see my worth, value, or even just see me as a person standing in front of whomever. I'm not doing that. And no human being should do that, either non-POC or non-POC. Like, your worth, God didn't create you to be, God didn't make a mistake. God didn't create you to be someone's doormat, punching bag, or seen as less than. Like, no. So
you don't need that, especially in nowadays when you can create your own show on TikTok. You can literally go on Instagram like we do and, you know, do lives with people and DM people and not be you don't have to ask for permission. Like, you don't have to wait for white producers to open the door. You can push the door a little bit. I'm not saying it's easy. I'm just saying it's a lot easier than it was 5 years ago. Like, you can make some strides on your own. Again, it's not going to be easy, but it's definitely doable. And I think, especially with so many delicious celebrity news and stuff that's going on, get on there and make fun of it if that's all you can really provide. Because I believe me, like, your voice is different. End of part one of the juicy celebrity tea that was spilled by Jason, Carter, and I. Literally, there is so much more. So wait till next week for part two. We're going to spill even more tea. Thanks for listening to this episode of The Take On. The Take On is produced by Dori Berenstein and Alan Seals, edited by Kyle Moore, and is a proud member of the Broadway Podcast Network. You can find out more about me and The Take On at bpn.fm/The Take On. And of course, on my Instagram at Amir Yass Official. Yes, honey, we're official. Make sure to subscribe and rate The Take On wherever you stream your podcast, and keep tuning in for more amazing guests.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.